This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fih. Wa afdal as-salati wa atamu at-taslimi ala sayyidina wa imamina wa habibina wa shafi'ina Abil Qasim Muhammad ibn Abdillah. وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. All praises due to Allah Almighty. We praise Allah. We send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, his noble family, righteous companions, and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Glory be to you, O Allah, no knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the Noble Qur'an, to make it an argument for us and not against us on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah. Dear brothers and sisters, we continue with Surat Al-Mursalat. And last time, inshaAllah, God willing, we'll finish it today. Last time, I believe, we stopped at verse 37, right? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين فإن كان لكم كيد فكيدون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون كنوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين ويل يومئذ للمكذبين كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا إنكم مجرمون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون. The statement repeats itself several times. Woe that day to the deniers. And then the next statement or verse says, this is the day of judgment. هذا يوم الفصل. We will have assembled you and the former peoples. Technically the Arabic says that it has already happened, right? It is the past tense. And we know, we spoke about what the meaning of having the past tense is, even though it is speaking about a future event. This is the day of judgment. We have assembled you and the former peoples. Just the verse before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَذَا يَوْمُ لَا يَنْطِقُونَ. So He's describing the day of judgment. There He was saying, this day they will not speak. They're speechless. They cannot say anything. If they wanted to say anything, they would have loved to have a good excuse that would save them, right? وَلَا يُؤْذَنُ لَهُمْ فَيَعْتَذِرُونَ. They don't have an excuse in the first place. They'll be allowed in different times to give their excuses, but they're useless. So in this situation, there's no excuse to be given. This is a time where they are silent and speechless. The next verse, هَذَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ جَمَعْنَاكُمْ وَالْأَوَّلِينَ. This is the day of judgment. We have assembled you and the former peoples. We spoke about يوم الفصل before, in the beginning of the surah. And the meaning of فصل, we said the main meaning that we get from describing this day as يوم الفصل is what? Fasal meaning separation. But separation in what way? This is one possible meaning. But the main meaning is separation through judgment. And this is why they said this is the day of judgment. Okay? In other words, it's a day where you will be separated through judgment. Allah Azza wa Jal will finally judge between you. You used to differ amongst you here in this world. So many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, if they keep arguing with you and they're not listening, leave it. Allah will judge between you on the day of judgment. Here it is. It's time. Now Allah will judge. You called me a liar. You said I was mocking. You said I was ridiculous. You said I was unintellectual. You said I was just telling you about former narratives and folktales. Now Allah Azza wa Jal will judge between us. It is the time of judgment. Allah Azza wa Jal will separate through judgment. The other possible meaning that comes to mind is the fact that they will be separated. It is the day where some people will be taken to paradise and the others will be taken to hellfire. That's it. No third abode. Just two. Two teams. They will be split into two groups. That's all. No third group. Either paradise or hellfire. Al-A'raf is just temporary, right? Al-A'raf, where they are not quite sure whether they're going to be taken to paradise or hellfire, may Allah protect us. This is a temporary time. Afterwards, they will be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge for them. Here, هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم. It's interesting. Yeah, if you look at it linguistically in the Arabic, هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين. You cannot have judgment without bringing them together. You can't judge between two people without bringing them forth. Allah Azza wa Jal brings them and then will separate them through judgment. If you look at it another way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom could have resurrected people and maybe judged them, but not necessarily after assembling them. No. He assembles them first. Because it will become clear on this day who was correct and who was incorrect. Who was truthful and who was the liar. Who is going to finally laugh now? It's not the one who laughs in the dunya, it's the one who laughs last. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge. So He assembles them all together and then they are judged. Allahu Akbar. It also shows you the suspense standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All peoples. هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين. Right, we have assembled you and the former peoples. Who are the former peoples? If we say this verse is speaking to the pagans of Mecca, then the former peoples are all of the former peoples who disbelieved, such as Ad and Thamud, and the ones before and the ones after. Everyone that is before the pagans of Mecca. But technically every people that is reading the Quran will understand this to be the people before me. So, if it is speaking to the disbelievers of today, هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين, so we will bring you, and we will bring Ad and Thamud, and the disbelievers from the people of Sayyidina Ibrahim عليه السلام, and Sayyidina Lut, and Sayyidina Isa عليه السلام, and Sayyidina Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So, every disbelieving folk that is reading it will understand all of the people before me, all of the disbelievers before me. One may think, subhanAllah, what do you mean all people? All people will be brought? Yani, maybe there's a mistake. Maybe some people will be missed. I mean, there are trillions of people. Maybe some people will just get away with it. And they'll remain under the soil. Will anyone get away from it, my dear brothers and sisters? This is not any assembly. This is not you and me assembling people in a state of emergency and missing one or two or three or four people. This is Allah Azza wa Jal bringing all people and everything that He ever created. Everything that He ever created. You think He will miss anything? There's not an atom that is hidden from Him that flies around in your body or mine. Or outside, or in some other country, or in some jungle, or somewhere flying in the universe. I'm not talking about the planets, I'm talking about the atoms that you and I cannot see with our own two eyes, that is hidden from Allah. You think someone will be missed? I know the disbelievers wish that maybe they will be missed. Maybe Allah will forget us. Everyone else will be assembled. Oh, but where are these people? No, brothers and sisters. هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين. All peoples that ever lived will stand together on that day. All. Maybe someone will be hidden. Maybe I'll stand in the back rows so that Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't see me. There are so many people, trillions of people. Somehow or other I'll hide myself. No, it's not like that at all. Did you not hear the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said, وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا, that we will collect them or bring them together and none of them will be hidden from us, none of them will not be brought. It means all people will be brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He says, وَعُرِضُوا عَلَى رَبِّكَ صَفًّا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَ, that they will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one line. How? Allahu A'lam. Many scholars of tafsir said it's not necessarily one line, maybe many lines, but no line hides the other. That's the difference. Lines here in the dunya, one line will hide the other. On the Day of Judgment, no line hides the other. They're all presented. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَى رَبِّكَ صَفًّا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Allahu Akbar. All peoples, trillions. What kind of land is this? Maybe one thinks, maybe there are ditches and mountains, because how else are you going to fit everyone on one plane? One plane! As far as your eyes can see, with the trillions and trillions and trillions of human beings that ever lived. Allahu Akbar. This is not nothing. This is not some simple matter, my brothers and sisters. هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal will bring them together, though He will bring them together only for a short time. You were together with the disbelievers and the hypocrites in the dunya, you'll be together with them during the time of judgment, on the Day of Judgment, but then they will be separated. Allah Azza wa Jal will bring them together to make manifest the truth, and those who were correct and those who were incorrect, the believer from the disbeliever, and then they will be finally separated, never ever to meet again. Allahu Akbar. هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين. It must be very difficult for the disbelievers on that day, when they're brought again, once again, with the believers that they used to mock at, but finally they will see that they were correct, that the believers who spend their time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and announcing His greatness, they were the ones who were correct. They were the ones that should have laughed at us. We shouldn't have mocked. It's too late now. There's no time for regret now. جمعناكم والأولين فإن كان لكم كيد فكيدون. If you have a plan, then plan against me. If you have a plan, it's sarcasm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mocking at the disbelievers and giving you and me the idea that the disbelievers spent a lot of their time planning and plotting. فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِيدُونَ. If you have some plan or a plot, plot now. Not in the dunya. The dunya is nothing. It's over now. It was just a game. And the game is over. And now here you are, assembled with those that you used to plot against. There you mocked. And there you plotted. And you spent most of your time plotting and mocking. فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِيدُونَ. The disbelievers plot and plot and plot, my dear brothers and sisters. Where is your plotting and mine? We are ordered to plot and to plan and to think how to bring glory to this religion again. The disbelievers plot and plot, and you and I are playing. The disbelievers are plotting, spending their money, their hard-earned money, in order to bring about the victory for their falsehood. And you and I are dancing, literally dancing, playing around, listening to music and dancing and enjoying ourselves, and they're plotting against us. If it wasn't, forget the fact that we're talking about something which is haram. I tell you first, be at the highest level that nations have risen to, and then dance. Not while you're being killed and your blood is being shed and you are, you know, people, subhanAllah, are being slaughtered like animals, like sheep everywhere. And we're dancing and we're playing. And there's something wrong up here when this happens. Get to the level they get to and then play. And then spend 5 hours watching a soccer match or a cricket match or whatever else that we may watch. But get to that level. Plot and plan and spend your time and spend your money and support the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and me. They are plotting and they will continue to plot, but Allah azza wa jal is the best of plotters and planners. They plotted and plotted. Let them plot now. What's your plot now on the Day of Judgment? What's your plan? Give us plan A, B, C. They're all be eliminated one after the other. What are you going to do? You used to go to the people of power, to the people of influence, to the kings, to the leaders. Who are you going to go to now? Everyone's a peasant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you going to plot and do now? Plot against hellfire. You used to mock. You're going to beat and wrestle the 19 angels of hellfire. Show us your strength today. Show us what you have today. Flee hellfire today. Flee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِدُونَ. If you have a plan, then plan against me. Plan against Allah. Are you serious? Plan against Allah? Are you joking? What can you do against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The only reason you plotted in the dunya is because Allah Azza wa Jal left you. Had He willed, one by one you would have been destroyed. Even if you weren't collected together in one location, if you were amongst the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, if you planted yourself amongst the believers that He loves, like hairs on an animal, on a sheep or a bull or something, Allah azza wa jal would have destroyed you one by one in the midst. All by saying, be and it is. But Allah Azza wa Jal left you. That's the only reason your plots had something. And because the Muslims were sleeping. But on the Day of Judgment, plan against Allah when He's not going to allow you. Are you going to wrestle with Allah? Ta'ala Allah. When we read in the Bible that Ya'qub alayhi salam, of course in the corrupted Bible, wal'ayadu billah, that Ya'qub alayhi salam wrestled God Almighty. A'udhu billah. What are you talking about? Plan against Allah? Plot against Allah? Allahu Akbar. No one defeats Allah. No one can do anything against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِيدُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe that day to the deniers. Threat after threat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens them. Imam Qatada says, وَيْلٌ وَاللَّهِ طَوِيلٌ. This day of judgment, this is no easy thing. Woe to them and woe to them. How many times this statement is repeated in the Quran? 10 times, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. In this surah, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, you and I, and especially the disbelievers, do not fathom the seriousness of this threat. Especially when it is repeated 10 times. By whom? By Allah Azza wa Jal, the Omnipotent, the Supreme, the King of all kings who cannot be defeated. He is saying, woe that day to the deniers. We do not fathom it. And the disbelievers more than us cannot fathom what this threat really means. And especially when it is repeated 10 times. يعني just imagine it repeated one after another. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. I swear by Allah will not understand the gravity of this threat until it becomes clear on the day of judgment. When we see the day of judgment, when the disbelievers see what awaits them in hellfire, only then they'll understand the gravity of this threat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Then it will click. Oh, this is what is meant by وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. But we are just reading the Quran subhanallah and heedless. Woe that day to the deniers. Indeed, the righteous will be among shades and springs. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونٍ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the people of paradise. And He specifically speaks about the righteous, الْمُتَّقِينَ. And this is what caused يعني, several scholars of tafsir to say that this seems to refer not only to the pious, but the pious who avoided shirk. Of course you say, well, if you don't avoid shirk, you can't be pious, absolutely. But the idea is that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been threatening the disbelievers and the deniers all throughout the surah, then this necessarily is not only speaking about al-muttaqeen, meaning the highly pious that go levels beyond just mere faith, that it is speaking about those who have faith. In other words, it's almost as if they understood it to mean those who are believers. Okay? Why? In contrast to the disbelievers. Okay? Even though, Allahu A'lam, it applies to all. Okay? And we know that every person who dies saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sincerely from their heart and out of knowledge, that they will be, inshallah, of the people of paradise and they will not be punished in hellfire eternally. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونٍ. In many places in the Quran when he speaks about paradise, what does he say? He says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ أو فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ. Right? Different things that he mentions. But here only he says, what? إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونٍ. Why mentioning the shades here? Sorry? No. Wallahu a'lam. There's another reason. Barakallah fi. Because just a few verses ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the shade of hellfire wal'ayadu billah. Of course, again, it is mockery, right? In taliqu إلى ما كنتم به تكذبون انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعب. Go and proceed to a shade. What type of shade? A shade who has three parts, right? لا ظليل ولا يغني من اللهب. We said it is the smoke of hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying you have no shade in hellfire except the smoke of hellfire. It's the only thing that will shade you. And as Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that shade there, which is not really a shade, then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the shade for the people of paradise. No word is in the Quran, my brothers and sisters, except with wisdom. If someone said, why is it dhilal here and something else there? This is why. Because there is a focus on the issue of shade in contrast to the shade of the people of hellfire. The believers will have the real shade. The shade of the tree in which they walk for 100 years in paradise. The shade of all of the trees whose branches are embracing each other. Right? These trees, the wata afnan, branches of the trees are embracing each other like canopies all over paradise. They will have these shades. The shades of the great palaces that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to the pious. This is the ultimate shade. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونٍ. They will be indeed in the shade that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for them. And springs. في ظلال وعيون. We spoke about the springs, right? Different springs that are available in paradise, such as what? Tasneem, Zanjabil. What else? Salsabil, we said possibly that it's a description according to some scholars and not a name, right? That it is of Zanjabil and the description of it is Salsabil, okay? Even though it says Tusamma Salsabila, but we said many scholars said it's not necessarily named Salsabil, but it is a description. The other one is Kafur, right? So springs of camphor, of ginger, and Tasneem. All of it for the pious believers. These springs, my dear brothers and sisters, يعني, here in the dunya, we know these things on an individual basis. Okay? Kafur, Zanjabil, whatever it is, in small quantities. Can you imagine springs of it? Springs of Zanjabil and springs of Kafur and Tasneem. It's beyond the imagination, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about paradise. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونَ. Everywhere you look, subhanAllah, in paradise you find these springs. Why? Because the pious have their springs and they take them along with them. Right? Do they take them along or not? Where am I getting this? Huh? Well, of course, there are rivers that are flowing, but no. How come I say they are taking it wherever they please? Huh? We just studied it a few verses back. Surah Al-Insan. يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. Right? That they make it gush forth. They make it, what does that mean? It means wherever they want, they make it gush forth. Wherever they go, they take it with them. It's not that it is a spring they have to go to. The spring goes with them wherever they want. يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. If I desire to have the spring here, I make it gush forth. How? Allahu A'lam. This is Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the description. This is the contrast between the people of hellfire and the people of paradise. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونَ وَفَوَاكِهَ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. And fruits from whatever they desire, whatever you desire of excellent fruit that is there in paradise. Of course, no comparison to the fruits of this dunya. And there are so many fruits in this dunya that you and I don't know about, by the way. Right? يعني, so many different types of fruits in this dunya. You look at it, you think, this is something that someone must have drawn, or someone must have constructed. Where did these colors come from, this shape? I have seen some of it. Okay, we never knew it existed. If this is in the dunya, then imagine al-akhirah, وَفَوَاكِهَا مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, whatever they desire. In the other ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَا مَقْطُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ. Someone says, well, maybe they'll finish eventually. So many people eating fruits all the time. لَا مَقْطُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ. Neither will it stop or finish or be consumed, neither will it be prevented from anyone for any reason, whatever that may be. People are just eating for pleasure. Eating in Jannah is not for satisfying hunger. There's no such thing as hunger. It's just for enjoying oneself. Just for pure enjoyment. Jannah is sheer pleasure and enjoyment. The gift of the most generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفَوَاكِهَا مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Being told, they will be told when they are having these food and these drinks out of pleasure, it will be told to them, eat and drink in satisfaction for what you used to do. How sweet it must be to hear this. Whether from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from the angels or whoever is going to say it, wallahu a'lam. But it must be the sweetest thing. Hearing finally that this is a reward for what you used to do. See all that you used to do in the dunya, nothing was missed. See all of the patience that you were patient and the satisfaction that you had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was testing you. Here it is finally, here is the reward. And necessarily you would think at that time, only if I did more, if only I prayed more, If only I worshipped more. If only I obeyed more. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Eat and drink in satisfaction, هَنِيئًا. Total satisfaction with the food. You're not going to find a seed that you would want to throw away. You're not going to have something that you spit out because you didn't like the taste, or it was bitter, or it was rotten. Some of the fruits of this dunya are going to be rotten. Or you ate an apple and you found a worm. Maybe that's not common, but it exists, right? You'll not have any of that. You're not going to find any stomach ache after your food, or some kind of indigestion. No such thing in Jannah. هنيئًا. Eat and eat and eat and enjoy. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from those. هنيئًا. بما كنتم تعملون. Notice, بما كنتم تعملون. Someone may say, well, paradise is just a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has nothing to do with our deeds. Is this a correct statement? No. Then what does the hadith of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mean? That no one will enter paradise with their deeds.
But deeds are not enough, but it's required.
Deeds are not enough, but it's required. Okay, that's correct. What else? Because you'll only enter paradise through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But will you deserve the mercy of Allah if you don't do deeds? You might deserve it in the first place. So it means no matter what deeds I put forth, I don't deserve paradise. But Allah Azza wa Jal in His generosity will grant me, God willing, His mercy based on your deeds, and that mercy is what is going to take you into paradise. Another way of looking at it is that the deeds are required, or rather, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is required to enter paradise, right? No one is going to enter paradise with their deeds except by the mercy of Allah. They said, or even you, O Messenger of Allah, He said, even me, right? Except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to grant me His pardon or His mercy, okay? But after that, after they enter paradise by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they all going to live at the same level of paradise? No. Many, many, many ranks of paradise. Many ranks. We're not just talking about, you know, first floor of my apartment, and then the second floor, and then the third floor. No, no, brothers and sisters. Between each level is like you and me looking at the stars above. As in the authentic hadith of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. As when you go out and you look at the stars of the night sky, this is the next level of paradise that you're looking at. And they are looking at the next level. And we're talking about 100 levels. Only for the al-mujahideen, as Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said. 100 levels like this? Allahu Akbar. What is paradise? Palaces upon palaces. Something beyond imagination. هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Finally, this is what Allah Azza wa Jal is granting you for what you used to do. And it means you deserve this because of what you have done. It is not granted like this for free, for people who have not done anything in this dunya. No, it's for people who tired themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His pleasure. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجِزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. This is finally the reward of the doers of good. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. When you practice ihsan in this dunya, you deserve the ihsan of Allah. You deserve the ihsan of Allah, the most generous. And what ihsan is comparable to the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ihsan is, of course, يعني, much more than just the doers of good. When you say ihsan, it encompasses all meanings of good. Meanings of good, meanings of, call it excelling, meanings that compass everything that has to do with goodness. Everything that has to do with good reward. It's It's not enough to say just the doers of good. Inna kadhalika najzi al-muhsinin. Someone may say, Subhanallah, Allah, after he said, Hani'an bima kuntum ta'amaloon, then he said, Inna kadhalika najzi al-muhsinin. So it is indeed a reward for the doers of good. For whom? Al-muhsinin, not al-amilin. Yani it's almost like the verse is hinting to you and me that it's not enough to just perform deeds. It's not just about hani'an bima kuntum ta'amaloon. It's not about what you used to do. It's about what you used to do well. It's about doing things well. Inna kadhalika najzi al-muhsinin. Give me another verse that is proof of this. Tell me. I'm supposed to do things well, right? It's about ihsan. It's not just about deeds. It's not only about quantity. It's about quality. Jazakallah khair. الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. He's talking about ihsan في العمل. Right? To test you for what? To see who is best in deeds. Not just who is having more deeds, who is doing the best in their deeds, who is excelling in their profession, who is excelling in their treatment of their spouse and their children, who is excelling in their worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, who is excelling in their prayers, who is excelling in obedience. It's about excelling, it's about doing things the best that you can do it, not just about how much you pray. So many people, subhanAllah, especially you and me, maybe we are praying, of course we can't really compare, but just as an example, let's say that compared to some of the tabi'een, we are praying 100-fold of what they used to pray. Maybe two rak'ahs that they used to pray are worth my 100. Because of their excelling in prayer. Because of their fear of Allah. Because of their humility when they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a stark difference between our deeds and the deeds of the companions and the tabi'een radiallahu anhum ajma'een. It's about ihsan. Inna kadhalika najzi al-muhsinin. Waylun yawma idhil al-mukadhibin. Woe that day to the deniers. To the deniers of what? Now Allah Azza wa Jal was just describing paradise. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. He again ended it by threatening the deniers. Of what? If you were to connect it to this, fine. Woe to the deniers of the Day of Judgment. But specifically when it comes after these verses of paradise, woe to the deniers of paradise. And there are so many who mock at the Day of Judgment and paradise. Oh, there are people that just talk about paradise and hellfire. Some of the Zionists, I don't want to mention his name, saying, oh, these people, they just talk about the unseen, paradise and hellfire and things like that. Okay, you'll know that day. Woe that day to the deniers. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Right? That day when they denied paradise, when they denied the everlasting pleasure, when some of the Zionists who created Al-Furqan Al-Haq and others amongst them, or the helpers of the Zionists also, what they call Al-Furqan Al-Haq, Al-Iyadu Billah, is the furthest thing from Al-Furqan. Their false Qur'an, it's not even a Qur'an of course, but this is what they're calling it. And they mock at what? At the thing which is hurting them. The 72 Hur al-Ain, it's burning them inside. That they are thinking possibly that these people who are fighting against them and giving themselves to Allah as martyrs for the sake of Allah, that they will have 72 of the most beautiful women of paradise. It was so important they mentioned it in their Furqan al-Haq. Don't think that you have these 72 women. It's not up to you, my dear friend. It's Prophet Muhammad ﷺ who said in the authentic hadith, this is what Allah Azza wa Jal will give to the ones who were martyred for His sake. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those. These people who who mock at paradise and mock at the pleasures that Allah Azza wa Jal has reserved for the pious and for the doers of good. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. Here we go again. Now we were talking about paradise, but now it is threatening again. Of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, those deniers, كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. Are we going back to the Day of Judgment? No?
Hellfire.
Back to hellfire?
No, back to the dunya.
Back to the dunya? Why?
Because it's for a little while.
For a little while. Jazakallah khair. For a little while. كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا. If not, if it was كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ, it may be speaking to the people of hellfire. But no. كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا, for a little while. It means eat and drink here. Eat and drink these, whatever you want to eat and drink here in the dunya. After he had just mentioned the real eating and drinking in paradise. And eating and drinking is one of the greatest pleasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in this dunya. Don't deny it. Don't brush it aside and say to yourself, why is Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning eating and drinking? My dear brother, my dear sister, if you suffered indigestion all day long, then you will understand the blessing of eating and drinking. For all practical purposes, there are many things and most things you can do without in this dunya. But eating and drinking, no. It is one of the greatest pleasures. And if there is no eating and drinking, you don't even know what to do anymore. People, when they're fasting and they're not used to worshipping and Quranic recitation and so on, and they just want to go out, they don't know where to go or what to do. I can't eat or drink. It's one of the pleasures, is it not? That's why we end up staying in the masjid in Ramadan. Because I can't go out and busy myself eating and drinking, so I might as well sit in the masjid and read Quran. But if it wasn't for that, it is one of the things that is occupying our time most, eating and drinking. One of the greatest pleasures of this dunya. And a pleasure in al-akhirah. So he tells al-mujrimeen, كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا. Eat and drink as much as you want while the believers are busying themselves in Ramadan, fasting. While the pious are busying themselves fasting even outside of Ramadan. While the pious, if not fasting, at least are not indulging in all kinds of food and drink and pleasures. كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا. Right? In the other ayah, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Leave them eating and drinking and just indulging in these life's pleasures. And it also tells you, these actions are not the actions of the believers. Remember the hadith of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when he said, عِبَادُ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ, that the true slave servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not those who indulge themselves excessively in the blessings of this dunya. No. And this ayah shows the same. The disbelievers are the ones who spend all of their time eating and drinking and just indulging in life's pleasures. The believers have their eye on something greater. They are just looking at these pleasures as something temporary. And something that maybe they are doing even out of necessity. Many of the great scholars of Islam looked at eating and drinking as a necessity, my brothers and sisters. It's not time in this dunya to eat and drink and enjoy oneself. They looked at it as a necessity, believe me. They looked at it and sometimes they found it difficult upon themselves. Why? Because it was depriving them from that which is beneficial, of worship or seeking knowledge or something else. Some of them said this, that the most difficult time for me is the time when I have to eat. He has to eat, right? He has to stay alive. They ate to live, but you and I live to eat. This is the problem. And in this way, we are becoming like the disbelievers. The disbelievers live to eat. The believers eat to live. كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا. For a little while. Indeed, it is a short while before they will be punished on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. You are indeed criminals. And we said criminals here, meaning they are criminals with regards to themselves. They have perpetrated the worst crime against themselves and against their Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not necessarily against human beings. The worst crime is the crime of shirk, the crime of disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has promised. كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. In other words, you will deserve what you deserve of punishment on the Day of Judgment because you are criminals. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Again, woe that day to the deniers. One after another. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اُرْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. And when it is said to them, bow in prayer, they do not bow. Again, it is speaking to the disbelievers. It was said to them, bow, bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lower your head in humility to the one who deserves all humility. But they denied. They rejected. No. They want to keep their head up high. They want to keep their back straight. They don't want to bend them for Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal punishes the hypocrites on the Day of Judgment by making their back straight. So that they would wish and love to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not be able to. Wal'ayyadu billah. They were given a back which is able to bend in the dunya. They refused. They rejected. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اُرْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. When they are told to bow, they do not bow. When they are told to pray, they do not pray. You say, but they have committed a crime worse than not praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've disbelieved in Him in the first place. Absolutely. But this is why some scholars said this is another piece of evidence that the disbelievers, according to the popular opinion, are also commanded the secondary obligations of Islam. Remember this issue when we spoke about it in Surah, I believe in Mudathir? Remember the issue or not? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, very few. Tell us, brother. ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. When they are asked, what is it that made you to enter hellfire? Their first reply was, we were not of those who prayed. So it means not only are they required to believe, and they will be punished if they do not believe, they are punished additionally for not praying. It means they're required to believe, they're required to pray, and they are required to give zakah, and they are required to do all of the obligations of Islam. Right? And thus when they leave it, they're not only being punished for their rejection of faith, they're being punished for not praying, they're being punished for not giving zakah, and so on and so forth. And this is another example, because they are mentioning again, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اُرْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. And it also shows you the importance of prayer. This is another location where they are being required and obligated to pray, and it is mentioned, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اُرْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. Their sin, their crime, is that they did not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is the case, my brothers and sisters, and it applies to the disbelievers, then what do we say about the believers? The believers themselves. Can you imagine that this verse applies to some of the believers? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اُرْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. Brother, didn't you just hear the adhan? Didn't you hear the iqamah? No, I'm busy now. But will you pray it later on? I don't know, maybe. I'll see. If I have time. If I'm not busy. Maybe now, maybe today, maybe not tomorrow. It's their last priority. A believer says this, Allahu Akbar. This is what caused many scholars of Islam to give the verdict that the one who does not pray their prayers at all is not a believer in the first place. And this is a popular opinion among scholars. It's not something to just brush away. Absolutely not. It's a very serious issue. The one who does not pray, according to many scholars, is a disbeliever. One says, no, but only if they reject it. Well, my brother, if they reject alcohol, they're disbelievers. If they reject anything of this religion, they're a disbeliever. So why specifically prayer mentioned in the ahadith and the abandonment of prayer and so on? It means not only rejection, leaving it, not rejection, leaving it. And not praying it for one reason or another. It may take you out of the fold of Islam. Very serious. If you have a cousin, if you have a relative, a brother or a sister or a parent who doesn't pray, it's a very serious issue. And it is being like the disbelievers. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ وَارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ Allah Azza wa Jalla is calling you to bow and you reject. He is calling you to prostrate and you turn away. You are likening yourself to Iblis who was commanded to prostrate and you do not prostrate. أعوذ بالله. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ Just imagine the extent to which you will be bothered and irritated when you tell this brother or this sister, dear brother, dear sister, please come. Come and pray. And they tell you, no, not now. You see how bothered you are? And you are not the one who deserves this prayer in the first place. And you are not the one who commanded it in the first place. Imagine how it is with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. And He is the one who is worthy of all praise. And He is the one who is giving them. Maybe this person you don't know. Imagine you have taken this person under your wing. You have helped them, you have given them money, you have given them sustenance, you have given them refuge in your house, you have done so much good to them. And then you said, brother, sister, please come pray. And they say, no. You think to yourself, all this that I gave you and you're still rejecting? How is it? This is just a small example. It's no comparison to what Allah deserves of them. And yet, they say, no. Allah tells you, come. And you say, no. No, Allah, I'm not coming to you now. I'm not going to pray now. I'm not going to bow to you. Allahu Akbar. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ This is according to some of the scholars that said that indeed this ayah is referring to prayer specifically and to bowing specifically. And this is why Imam Qatada says that you should perfect your bowing. Because it is a very important part of the prayer, and this was his comment on this ayah. It's the bowing is a very important part of the prayer, therefore perfect it. Don't steal from your prayer, as Prophet Muhammad said. Some people bow barely. Barely their back bends and then they go back up. They barely have a chance to say Subhanallah al-Azim once. No, brothers and sisters, perfect your bowing. It's very important, and it's one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it here. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Woe that day to the deniers, Allahu Akbar. Woe to the ones who refuse to bow. Woe to the ones, We said the opinion of, if I forget something momentarily, brothers, remind me. We said the opinion of the ones who said that this is indeed a reference to prayer. Other scholars, and they're a fairly good number, maintain that this is general obedience, general humility. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ And there are different pieces of evidence for that. I don't want to get into the discussion, but the idea is that, and it's a fairly good opinion, that it may be a reference to general obedience and responding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُوا, meaning oblige or abide by all of the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they are commanded and ordered to do so, they renege or they turn away and they disbelieve. وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe that day to the deniers, those who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the ultimate right, and this is the right of worship. Like when Allah, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he said, shall I tell you about the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slave servants? He said, yes. He said, it is that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any associates or partners. He said, shall I tell you of the rights of his slave servants upon Allah? Right of his slave servant upon Allah? You and I have no rights upon Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah does what He pleases, but it's out of His mercy and generosity that He made for us a right upon Him, that if you worship Allah Azza wa Jal without partners, that He will enter you into paradise. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. There are two opinions about the repetition of this verse. One, that it is indeed repeated. And repetition has its effect, right? Especially on the ones that this verse applies to, the deniers. Woe that day to the deniers. Once is enough. A threat from Allah Azza wa Jal. Once is more than enough by Allah. But once, twice, three times, four times, 10 times in the whole surah, this is something else. The other opinion says, it is not repetition. Because if it is repetition, and maybe an Orientalist comes to you and says, look, this verse is repeated 10 times, right? And in Surah Ar-Rahman, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, is repeated 31 times. What's the deal? And then you tell me this is the Book of Allah, absolutely. Feeble minds, not understanding this Qur'an. You may say it is repetition if it is consecutive, one after another. But even then, right, it has the effect of giving complete certainty to what is being said. Like in Surah Al-Qiyamah, أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى ثُمَّ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى. This you may say is repetition, but what? Four threats. أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى ثُمَّ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى. Because there is nothing in between. But here, it's not consecutive. No, but here even it's not consecutive, right? وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ is coming after every set of verses. And this is what caused a number of scholars to say, it is not repetition. Each وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ is a threat to a specific people about a specific topic related to the verses that are being mentioned. And this is why, when you think to yourself, the first threat, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, came when? It came after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned, of course, وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفَى, and the several oaths that he had taken, and that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, and that then he starts speaking about some of the precursors to the Day of Judgment, or let us say the occurrences on the Day of Judgment, okay? Indeed, woe to the ones who deny the Day of Judgment when what happens? When the light of the stars is destroyed, when the mountains are scattered away, when the when all of these occurrences happen and everything in the world changes, woe to those people. And the tearing apart of the heavens, all of the occurrences of the Day of Judgment. Yes, indeed, woe to the deniers that disbelieve in all of this. And then he reminds them, he talked about the Day of Judgment, then he went and spoke about the former denying people, just like you, but they came in a time past, and maybe they were much stronger than you also, and they disbelieved, and Allah destroyed them. Woe that day to the deniers. Indeed, woe to the ones who read about these peoples and mocked at them, who read about them and did not take heed or learn a lesson from the people that were destroyed before them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the marvels of our creation, one stage after another. And it is enough just to know that you are coming from this weak and inanimate sperm drop. You are just coming from a drop of sperm. This great, educated, strong individual is coming, and his source was a sperm drop that had no life in it. Woe to the deniers of resurrection who have understood the issue of first creation. And if this applies to the pagans of Mecca, then the threat is much greater to the pagans of today. Why? Because the pagans of Mecca knew nothing about the details of nutfa and alaqa and mudgha and mudgha mukhallaqa wa ghayri mukhallaqa and idham and idham wa lahm and ruh and all of this. Nothing! Now embryologists are telling you each day of the embryo what they look like. They have pictures, for Allah's sake. They have pictures of the embryo. They have pictures. They're telling you each day what is going on. After 2 or 3 weeks, the embryo is in this stage. Stage after stage. Not only do they know about it, they see it with their own two eyes. But their hearts are blind. Woe that day to these deniers. It's much worse. You see all of this with your own eyes. Not with the eyes of your brain. It's not just that you understand that it went from stage to another. You're seeing it with your own two eyes, and you're denying the resurrection when you are seeing the marvels of this creation, the wonders of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you deny. Woe that day to the deniers. Woe to the ones who denied the blessings of Allah azza wa jal when He stabilized the earth and made it as a receptacle for all living and dead, and so on to the end of the verses. Woe that day to all of these deniers. Woe to the ones who denied hellfire and denied the punishment of hellfire and the smoke of hellfire and the great spark, the colossal spark of hellfire. Wal-ayyadu billah. Woe that day to the deniers. Woe that day to the ones who denied the Day of Judgment, that Allah Azza wa Jal indeed will bring them together, will assemble them on the Day of Judgment. Woe to the ones who denied paradise. You see, the woe to all of these people. In every location it applies to the verses that it is related to. Woe that day to the deniers. And ultimately, woe that day to the ones who refused to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to humble themselves before Allah, or to pray or to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Woe that day to the deniers. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Then in what statement they say? فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيث. It can be a statement, and it can be more general than that. A statement or some kind of speech, okay? Then in what statement after it, meaning the Qur'an, will they believe? It means, if they have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the speech of Allah in the Qur'an, and there is nothing more wondrous linguistically, and in terms of its content, than the Qur'an. Since there is nothing more amazing than this, then in what will they believe? In the statement of such and such or such and such. Subhanallah, look at the Muslims before you look at the disbelievers. Muslims are so fond of quoting this philosopher or that, or should we call them philosopher, quoting, be it Kant or Freud. Subhanallah, he thinks he is sweetening his speech when he quotes this person or that, or this leader or that, or this scholar or that. Quote Allah. Try quoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Allah says this. Quote Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most of the so-called wisdom that people speak about today in different quotes from philosophers or some of the early religious people and people of religion. If you analyze the quotation or the statement, you can easily pick it out of one of the books of hadith, and probably in a more eloquent manner and in a more beautiful manner. But the problem is, we don't know our religion. We don't know what Allah Azza wa Jal says. We don't know what Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said. We're not studying the hadith. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. If they disbelieve in this Qur'an, and they do not believe in it, then in what speech are they going to believe? In what statement are they going to follow? And this is why, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Right? In what speech after it? After it here does not mean after it in time, be careful. Not after it chronologically, right? Because one may say, well, in what speech after the Qur'an will they believe? But it's okay if they believe in the books that came before the Qur'an which were corrupted. No. It means after reading the Qur'an, can you follow anything else? Can you believe in anything else? If after reading the Qur'an, after which there is no miracle greater than it, how can you then believe in anything else? If you disbelieve in this, you're going to disbelieve in everything. Nothing will convince you. Nothing will ultimately move you if the Qur'an doesn't move you. If the Qur'an doesn't move you, there's a major problem, right? فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ. So it means, after reading the Qur'an, whether you have a book from before the Qur'an or after the Qur'an, after reading the Qur'an, you cannot disbelieve in it. It's impossible. Otherwise, there's something fatally wrong. فَبِأَيَّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Can you believe in anything after reading the Qur'an? Can you be amazed? Some people maybe are surprised. These Muslims, nothing moves them. We discover this and we discover that, and we, come to all of these logical conclusions and things, and nothing surprises them. And they say, well, yeah, we knew this. Of course, when we know that it is in the Qur'an. Because after reading the Qur'an, there's nothing that's truly surprising after the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. We believe in Allah. There's a hadith that mentions, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ, that after reading that verse, that we should say, أَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. We believe in Allah. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Some scholars have given the opinion, وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ. Remember, we spoke about Surah Al-Insan. In Surah Al-Insan, you find that most of the verses are talking about the people of hellfire or the people of paradise? Paradise. All, practically, right? There's only one verse that speaks about the people of hellfire, and then the rest is all for the people of paradise, right? Some scholars said, Allahu A'lam if it is true, that this surah gives the balance. This surah is balancing Surah Al-Insan, in the sense that practically all of the speech here is to the deniers. And even the speech about paradise, it's short. It's just those four verses. But the speech about hellfire is longer. The speech about the Day of Judgment, okay? And the speech which is directly addressing the deniers, the whole surah practically is addressing the deniers. From the beginning of the surah to the end. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. It's a speech to the deniers of the Day of Judgment. So it is creating a balance with Surah Al-Insan. And finally, I conclude by the beautiful hadith, which is narrated on the authority of Ibn Abbas, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu addressed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulallah, qad shibt, O Messenger of Allah, you have become white-haired. You have a lot of shame on your head now. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, amazing response. He says, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَالْوَاقِعَ وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ وَعَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. What gave me this shape, he didn't say, well, yes, I'm getting old. That's not the answer. He said, شَيَّبَتْنِي, what brought me this shape, what made me gray-haired, are these five surahs. Hud, Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Mursalat, which we just read, indeed, wallah, if we read it properly, it should give you gray hairs. Hud wal-Waqi'ah wal-Mursalat, wa'amma yatasa'aloon, wa'idha al-shamsu kuwirat. And indeed, all of these chapters, yani when they speak about the Day of Judgment, the great occurrences that happen on the Day of Judgment, it is something else. Indeed, it will make someone gray-haired. If only we read it with understanding and a heart which is alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with the noble Qur'an and make it an intercessor for us on the Day of Judgment. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. مواقع مرسلات عما يتساءلون إذا الشمس كورت. Any other questions or comments? Three columns by the virtue of the fact that the smoke is rising. Okay. Even though we said ثلاث شعب technically means three different parts. What exactly those parts are, Allahu A'lam. But the translators used the word columns probably because the smoke is rising from the fire. And therefore, if it is splitting into three parts, then necessarily it is a column of smoke. And this is how we usually describe smoke, right? As a column. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it is splitting into three parts. And this is an indication of the huge size of this smoke which is coming out of the fire. Wal-iyadu billah. The fire itself is something so huge and deep and great that the smoke which is coming out of it is also the same. And it is splitting into three different parts. This shade is the smoke. Okay, this is the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam. And this is what some of the Salaf said, and that this shade is just sarcasm. Allah Azza wa Jal is calling the smoke of hellfire the shade, right? Similar to the other ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also about the people of hellfire that they will be in the shade of Yahmoom, right? وَظِلٍ مِّن يَحْمُوم. So we know that in hellfire, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, the water is boiling water and it is called Hamim. And that's why فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيم, right? And the first one, سَمُوم. سَمُوم is what? It is the scorching hot wind of hellfire. And living in this country, you know what it means to have scorching hot wind flowing in your face, right? Of course, this is just a very, very small example. It is child's play compared to Hamim or Samum, but it is just a reminder. في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم. A shade of يحموم. This shade is the smoke. The smoke of hellfire is the only thing that Allah Azza wa Jal is describing as a shade for them, Wallahu A'lam. Anything else? By the mercy of Allah and His help, we have finished Juz' Tabarak, the 29th Juz' of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it an argument for us and not against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to the noble Qur'an and make it a reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us in status, insha'Allah. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.